Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Isabella Garrido, Jaya Kumar, and Abyaz Karim. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. The fate of the Limestone City Cooperative Housing Project came before council at their meeting on Tuesday night, where they ultimately decided the project will have to fend for itself to secure the intended property at 900 Division Street. Limestone City Cooperative Housing, LCCH, is a nonprofit aiming to build an innovative cooperative housing and vertical farm project, providing 284 affordable housing units in the city's north end. Meadowbrook Strathcona Councillor Jeff McLaren has been working on the project for the last 2 years. In September, council turned down a request for $2 million in seed funding for the project, sending LCCH the message that a clearer vision for the project would be needed to win over council. On Tuesday, council was presented with two options: to hand over the city-owned property at 900 Division Street to LCCH or to put the property on the open market, meaning LCCH, a nonprofit, would have to compete with private developers for the land. Proponents of the project made compelling arguments before council to support the project with option one, the major hurdle being that the project cannot secure identified grant funding before securing land. Remy Strauss, a business expert backing LCCH, was one of the representatives that presented the case before council, as well as Councillor Jeff McLaren.
While this is really big today, I think I question for you as to whether you want to see buildings as just places where people live, or are they perhaps a backbone for a thriving community? Are they perhaps more than just somewhere to live, but they're actually about addressing many more issues?
There's $127 million that we have identified that we can go after, but it's conditional on the land. We need that land to get the money. What I'm asking you guys here for today with option one is to help us, to authorize us, to give us the direction to go out and get $127 million investment in affordable housing, in solutions to climate change, in solutions to food insecurity. This is absolutely critical in our community. We've declared emergencies in all of these things.
When option one took the floor, councillors Connie Glenn and Gary Osteroff expressed their support.
I think we owe it to ourselves as a community to at least make the attempt for a big reach, something that is going to solve multiple issues, multiple problems, and maybe set the stage for something brand new for other communities as well. So I'd like to see this move forward. Let's give an opportunity to this city to really shine and to see what we can actually bring.
I'm going to support this project. I've been a bit of a critic of it as well, and Jeff has heard me out a few times, but I did go to a board meeting recently and as a visitor, and I've been listening closer, and I think as Councillor Glenn has said, a year ago we had a report that we sent back, pretty clear message. And I think that what we see now is something that is very attractive. This is really got to it, it. There's a lot of check marks that we can now look at this and say, this is worth looking at. I think we should give this project the confidence that it needs tonight with option one. Really, it's inherently risk-free for us, and the upside is just so high.
However, while a major selling point for the project had been the lack of risk for the city, Mayor Brian Patterson brought in another perspective.
Do I want to see this project go forward? Of course. I think that the issue is that it's not risk-free for the city, because we only have so much land available. I'm not trying to be negative, but I am trying to be honest. So this is what due diligence looks like. So we need to weigh that out.
Option one did not make it through, with only Councillors Osteroff, Glenn, McLaren, and Lisa Osanek in support. Councillor McLaren made a final impassioned speech, stressing the position of LCCH if the land is put out on the market, and urged council to reconsider.
If we're going to put this on the market, there is a long process, and it's an uncertain process, one that will close windows, that will make this harder for us. It creates uncertainty, and in fact, it's going to kill this project. We are not equipped to play or to compete in a for-profit shark-infested ocean.
Councillor Osanek expressed the disappointment of supporters of the project.
Option two is why innovation dies. I feel so strongly. I've been on planning committee for 18 of my 19 years. This is 248 affordable housing units that are 65% of market rate. I am so angry. It is so hard to get affordable housing units built in this city. Every single big tower, we always ask for affordable housing. The answer is always zero units. This is 248 right here in our hands that could have been on city land. So let's just see what happens with this option two that is probably going to pass right now. What we get is going to be at the very best purpose-built apartment. That will be the best. At the worst, it's going to be a tall condo. Tall condo. And how many affordable housing units will be in there? None. This is what we just gave up. 248 affordable housing units. I cannot believe in a housing crisis that we just said no to that.
When option two came forward, Councillor Brandon Tozzo made his case as the councillor of the district the project would take root in.
This project had more red flags than Soviet Russia. Assumptions of grant funding and financing that it hasn't really been proven. And this is a public piece of land. A point I also want to make is I'm the councillor of the district that this property is in. I have seen in my time on council a variety of different brilliant ideas proposed in the north end of Kingston that each have really unique features. And this is about the third or fourth time I've experienced this, and this seems to only happen in Kingston's north end. And let it be said, every single time in the previous report that we had on affordable housing, I voted in favor of this. I'm a fan of affordable housing, but I am kind of getting sick of being the city's social engineering experiment for the rest of the town. This is the North End, and I know it has had a lot of inequality and marginalization. This amount of affordable housing, staff recommend in the initial report that was supposed to have five affordable houses, that was ignored. The staff think that it could have a limitation of six stories, that was ignored. This is a kind of an affront to me as the district councillor that none of those considerations were even considered. So there was also a public meeting that Limestone Co-op had months ago where I wasn't invited as the district councillor. I actually asked about it and didn't get a response from the board. Thanks, guys. Really awesome. So on the merits of this project, I think it's just inherently flawed. I'm not going to be charitable about this. I kind of call a spade a spade. I'm voting against this. I think we should sell the land, put that directly into affordable housing, and we can actually get some affordable housing built. That's where I stand on this. Good luck in the free market getting this.
Option 2 passed with a vote of 7-4. While this means LCCH still has the opportunity to compete for the land, as Councillor McLaren stated, this could mean the end of the project. According to the motion, the city has the intent of reallocating revenue from selling the land to an affordable housing project located in another area of the city. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
Good evening, folks. I'm Abiyaz from CFRC News, and you're listening to our segment Campus Corner. Here we bring you the latest updates from Queen's Campus. I have got a packed update for you tonight, covering everything from academic talks to fitness sessions, plus an important update on labor negotiations at Queen's. Let's dive in. We start with a major development on campus. Graduate student workers at Queen's are officially on strike. As of today, members of PSAC Local 901 walked off their respective jobs after negotiations with the university failed to produce any agreeable outcome. The union represents around 2,000 graduate students working as teaching assistants, teaching fellows, and research assistants. And they say Queen's isn't offering enough when it comes to pay, mental health benefits, and childcare supports. Queens, on the other hand, says it remains committed to the bargaining process. In the meantime, classes are still running, but if you're heading to campus, you may expect some delays due to the picket lines. Meanwhile, there is some movement on a separate labor front. Support staff under United Steelworkers Local 2010 have reached a tentative agreement with the university. Switching gears to academics. Did you ever wonder how music shapes the way we experience video games? Well, Dr. Stephanie Lind will be breaking it down in an upcoming research doc on the threefold role of music in gaming, soundtrack, sound effects, and songs. If you love gaming or just want to nerd out over music, this is for you. The event is on Tuesday, March 11th from 11:30 to 1 p.m. at Harrison Lee Caney Hall, room 124. No sign-up needed, just drop in. For details, contact the DAN office at infodsdm@queensu.ca. In other news, if you're interested in the state of Ontario's healthcare system, mark your calendar for this virtual seminar. Dr. Lisa, a family physician and health policy expert, will discuss key challenges in Ontario's primary care system, including access to care, wait time, and coordination between providers. The seminar will be held on Wednesday, March 12th at 12 p.m. This session is the part of HSPRI Round Seminar Series and will be recorded for later viewing. On something a little more active, Queen's faculty and staff, this one is for you. If you're looking for a midday movement break, a Pilates session at the ARC could be just what you need. It will be held on Tuesday, March 18, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. at ARC Studio 4. The class is free, but you'll need to pre-register to claim your spot. Finally, changing gears to something more creative. If you're looking for a relaxing and creative way to unwind, check out a guided watercolor session led by artist Melanie Gray. If you don't have any coloring experience, no problem. It's all about self-expression, mindfulness, and taking a break from the stress of daily life. The session will be held on Wednesday, March 19th from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. at McIntosh Curry Hall, room B176, seminar room B130. All materials will be provided, but spots are limited, so don't forget to register. And that's a wrap. From research talks to fitness and wellness sessions, plus the latest on PSAC 901 strike. There is a lot happening at Queen's this week. Thanks for tuning in to Campus Corner. I'm Abiyaz from CFRC News.
This is Jesse Bell with your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Monday, March 10th, a beautiful sunny day here in the city of Kingston, daytime high of 6 degrees, staying consistent around zero overnight. Tuesday, March 11th, we are going to see a daytime high of 10 degrees with a 30% chance of precipitation. However, the rain is going to bring a sharp drop-off in temperatures overnight, dropping down to minus 10. Wednesday, March 12th, daytime high of 2 degrees, so a little bit cooler, but it will be sunny, dropping down to just minus 2 overnight. Thursday, March 13th, warmest day of the year thus far. Daytime high of 12 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud, dropping down to 4 overnight. Friday, March 14th, a beautiful start to the weekend, a mix of sun and cloud, but a daytime high of 14 degrees, getting cut in half, dropping to 7 overnight. Saturday, March 15th, not quite as nice of a day. We are going to see rain, but a daytime high of 11 degrees, dropping down to about 5 overnight. Sunday, March 16th, 75% chance of precipitation, but we will see a daytime high of 12 degrees, getting cut in half, dropping down to 6 overnight. Moving into the start of next week, Monday, March 17th, cooling off a little bit, daytime high of 6 degrees with cloudy conditions, and then Tuesday, March 18th, we'll see a daytime high of 11 degrees and it will be cloudy. This is Jesse Bell with the City of Kingston Traffic Report for the week of Monday, March 10th, 2025. Reduced load restrictions are in effect in Kingston as of March 1st. Heavy trucks and loads are restricted on city roads where posted. These restrictions help reduce damage to roads in the spring. A complete list of roads with restrictions can be found in the Traffic Bylaw section of the City of Kingston website. Here are the relevant road closures for the week. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess to 486 Albert is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Queen Street, Division 2 Barry is closed until March 14th for a contractor to cap a water service at 283 Queen Street. A reminder that there is still a parking disruption ongoing at the Hanson Memorial parking structure as the restoration project is now underway. The work will take place throughout all levels of the building and will include efforts such as routine structural maintenance, repainting, replacement of waterproofing materials, and upgrades to the building's mechanical and electrical systems. The work is set to conclude in July 2025. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club. Expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Please be aware of lane shifts, traffic speed limits, and share the lane signage. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue.
Hello, I'm Henry Walker, CFRC intern from the Queen's Department of History. Here's today's concert and events calendars. Starting with events, coming up on Monday, both One Eye Jacks and the Brass will be hosting their weekly free trivia night starting at 7 and 7:45 respectively. Also on Monday, Riverhead Brewing Company will be hosting their Lager and Joggers running group with their run starting at 5:30 p.m. On Tuesday, Macbeth opens at the Union Gallery and Stauffer Library at Queen's University. This sold-out production has shown starting at 7 p.m. with further performances running till Friday. The Dance School Majors production of Carol Churchill's play Love and Information continues into its second week of shows with today's performance starting at 8 p.m. Performance will continue through till Sunday. On Tuesday also, Daft Brewing is hosting a Euchre Night starting at 7 p.m. The Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. And also on Tuesday, the Lululemon Weekly Fun Run will meet at 270 Princess Street from 5:30 to 7 p.m. On Wednesday, One Eye Jats will be hosting Board Game Night starting at 7. Folks can head on down to Musique U, which is hosting its weekly life drawing event. Don't forget to bring your own art supplies and $5 and participate in uninstructed life drawing. Tiernanod will be hosting a free comedy night with Logan Brown from 9 to 12 p.m. And also on Wednesday, Daft Brewing and Something in the Water will host their weekly trivia nights, both starting at 7 p.m. After that, on Thursday, Daft will be hosting Drag Bingo from 7:30 to 10 p.m. The Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 to 4 p.m. in Springer Market Square. Also on Thursday, the Out in Front Weekly Run Group has a public run starting downtown at 6:15 p.m. in front of Runner's Choice. All people are invited regardless of ability, sex, sexual orientation, or gender identity. On Friday, the Kingston Frontenacs will be playing the Peterborough Pete's with their game starting at 7 p.m. Tickets are available online. The Buckle and Daft Brewing will both be hosting their weekly free karaoke nights. Doors open at 9. On Saturday, Queen's PhD student Parisa Nazari will be giving a free talk on interstellar dust and star formation at 7:30 p.m. in Queen's campus's Ellis Hall. The event, open to all ages, includes a tour of the Queen's Observatory and telescope viewing, weather permitting. The Kingston Public Market also runs from 8:30 to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. On Sunday morning, the Runner's Choice Lawn Run starts downtown outside their store at 8:20 a.m. All ages and paces are welcome. And finally, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 to 1 p.m. at Memorial Center. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Again, I'm Henry Walker, CFRC intern from the Department of History. We're continuing with this week's concert calendar. Coming up on Monday, Inner Harbor Jazz will be playing at the club at the RCHA from 4:30 to 6:30. This afternoon of jazz is being put on by the Kingston Jazz Society and has a $5 door charge. Also on Monday, the jazz trio The Morning Doves will be playing at Musique starting at 8 p.m. On Tuesday afternoon, Tom's Tuesday Happy Hour Jam will be taking place at the RCHA from 4 to 7. Also, Musique is hosting an open mic from 8 to 11 p.m. After that, on Wednesday, Whiskey Smoke will be playing at the Buckle starting at 7:30. Hotel Wolf Island is hosting its open mic night with host Mike Rapkins from 8:30 to 11:30. And starting at 8 p.m., Kingston singer-songwriter Frank Ryan will be playing at Musique. On Thursday, the Buckle will be hosting Trailer Swift Band at a free gate from 8 to 11 p.m. The club at the RCHA will be hosting Clem Chesterfield's Country Open Mic starting at 7 p.m. Also, Musiki will be hosting five Kingston musicians as part of their Family Matters show for a free night of hip-hop from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. And also on Thursday, two groups, Amirilius and The Permits, will be playing at the Toucan starting at 9:30. Then on Friday, two bands, Rocket Surgery and the Wild Rose Orchestra, will be playing a show at the Broom Factory with doors opening at 7:30 and tickets costing around $20. The Kingston Blues Society will be presenting Angelica Jones at 8 p.m. with tickets costing $15 at the club at the RCHA. Also on Friday, Mark McLaughlin will be playing alongside his four-piece band, Good Fortune, from 8 to 11 p.m. at the Grad Club. Tickets for this event are going for around $12. The Clay Pigeons, Jinx, and Ducks in the Attic will also be playing Friday night at the Mansion. On Saturday, two Ontario-based musicians, Graven and Melissa Payne, will be playing at the Hotel Wolf Island from 8:30 to 11. Tickets are currently available for $15 and will be available for $20 at the door. Also on Saturday, the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra will be performing at the Isabel from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. Tickets are currently costing between $15 and $72. To celebrate St. Patrick's Day, the Celtic Kitchen Party will be playing at the Grand Theatre starting at 7:30. Tickets are available online for around $42. And on Sunday, Savannah Shea will be performing at Musiki starting at 4:30. Have a concert you would like to add to our online and on-air concert calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.